If a Martian were to visit America, he might conclude that half the country was gay and the other half wish it were. This is such an issue where it's a pushed on us over and over and over in America. And in fact, there's two key premises to the whole militant homosexual agenda. One, you're born that way, and two, you can't change. Well, there's a new DVD from Pure Passion Media called Such Were Some of You, and the writer, director, and producer of it, and one of those guests in the movie, is with us today. His name is David Kyle Foster. David, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. Let's start right with that first point. We are told over and over and over, you're born that way. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's a myth that's being spun by gay activism. It's not true. It has no science behind it. All of the studies that have been done, spending millions of dollars to prove it by gay researchers who have something to prove, have failed to prove that there is a genetic or biological cause for homosexuality.
All right, but you know, what would you know about this? Tell us about your own background briefly.
Well, I came out of the gay lifestyle. I was in it for over 10 years and struggling with it for 29 years. And when I came out of it, I still didn't know if it was a sin. I just knew that I was born again and saved. And so I was asking God, you know, is this still a sin? Do you want me to do this or not? And, and it's very clear. He was very clear, you know, I had been bought with a price and I was not to, use my body for sexual immorality. So, you know, I developed homosexuality as a result of, I would say a dozen different factors. I didn't bond with my father on an emotional level. That's very common with male homosexuals, although that's not always present in all of them. I was probably sexually abused. That's very common in all homosexuals. I would say 65 to 85% of female homosexuals are sexual abuse victims. And over half of male homosexuals are sexual abuse victims. I also had an incident, and several incidents really, in my childhood that gave me a fear of the opposite sex. So I had this lack of affirmation in my growing masculinity. I had sexual abuse causing me to question my sexual identity. And I had a fear of the opposite sex. And so they sort of converged during puberty to throw me into confusion.
And you acted on all this, and then at one point, I understand, you were even a male prostitute out in Hollywood during the 80s.
Yeah, because my dad was a pastor, and I had begged God my whole childhood and adolescence to take away these developing feelings. And they weren't sexual feelings at first. They were simply an emotional pull, an emotional draw to other fellows. I was trying to complete myself. I was trying to get affirmation as a young boy. And then it became sexualized during puberty. And I confused what was actually an emotional need with a sexual identity. And that's where the culture is horribly abusing children, as far as I'm concerned, by telling them that if they have any feelings in that direction, they're born that way and that they're stuck and they can't change.
Yeah, that's the second point, the idea you can't change. You have changed. Now, they would probably say, well, he either never was, really was one, or he's only fooling himself that he thinks he's changed.
Right. Well, I say back to them, does sleeping with 1,000 men count? And I think it's quite clear when you look at my history that I was definitely homosexual. And I have definitely changed. Over the last 34 years now, I haven't gone back to the lifestyle for 34 years. I didn't go back to pornography either, or drug abuse and alcohol abuse like I used to do. So I the Lord has set me free from a number of issues, homosexuality just being one of them.
Now, you mentioned that when you first got converted, you wondered about the possibility, you know, God, are you okay with this or not? There are some today who are saying gay is okay, even as a Christian.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know the Bible when I was asking that question. I had not read the passages. But today, the people who are making those claims have actually read the passages and are trying to twist them to make them look like the Bible says that being gay is okay, and you can't do that. I mean, there's 3,000 years of Christian and Jewish scholarship on this issue, and there has been no dissent on the issue until the modern era when gay activism became an organized group. And they began, in fact, they had a strategy that they wrote up in a book
after the
that
ball.
You can read, after the ball, where they said quite clearly, we're going to use talk to muddy the moral waters, was the phrase they use.
Wow.
And so they get their people into seminaries and get them with PhDs and then have them just lie about what the Bible says.
Wow. You know what's so amazing about this? We are all familiar with the Catholic scandal that, by and large, has, they're definitely addressing it a lot more aggressively now than before. But the interesting thing about it is, honestly, the vast majority of the victims in the Catholic scandal, people that were molested by priests and so forth, were boys. And they were usually post-puberty. So it was really more of a homosexual scandal than any other kind of scandal. And yet, you know, somehow you're not allowed to say that. But that's true.
It is true. There's a higher incidence of pederasty, would be the term for men who are attracted to teenage boys. There's a higher incidence of that among homosexuals than among heterosexuals. Of being attracted to adolescents sexually. It's everywhere. I mean, I was in all parts of the gay lifestyle, in all parts of the country and even the world for over a decade, and it was everywhere. I was continuously beset by older men, and I looked 16 at the time, and I passed off as 16. Because
even though you were maybe in your 20s or something?
Yeah, I was in my late teens and then my early 20s, and I was believably passing for a 16-year-old. And the younger I told them I was, the more they wanted me, the more money they threw at me, the more promises they made about giving me a career in show business and all that.
And you actually were in some movies.
Yes, I was in movies, and I did that for 7 years. So, and I was on the streets of Hollywood. I would act in a film or TV show during the day, and then I would go out and hustle on the streets of Hollywood at night, and the men that would pick me up invariably wanted as young as possible, as innocent as possible. So I would tell them, you know, I'm a straight surfer, because they love surfers, and I just broke up with my girlfriend, and do you have any dope, you know, just letting them know I was vulnerable and I could be taken advantage of.
Wow. And the Lord saved you from all this, and you've been involved in ministry for 20-plus years, right?
Yeah, he saved me from murder attempts and all kinds of things during those years. And the thing that amazed me the most was that in all the darkness that I lived in, the Lord loved me passionately even still, and he reached out his hand and saved me.
When you say murder attempts, people were attempting to murder you, or you were attempting to murder others?
No. People tried to kill me 3 times when I was hustling on the streets of Hollywood, and the Lord intervened each time. And He did it in a way that I knew the Lord was intervening. I knew God was doing something to stop it, and it puzzled me because I hated God and I was living to spite Him, and here He was saving my life over and over and over again. So that's really what got me interested in God and caused me to believe that maybe He would save me after all.
All right, we're talking right now with David Kyle Foster, who is the writer, director, and producer of a new film, Such Were Some of You. This movie is about an hour and a half. Tell us about this movie.
Well, it's 2 hours and 9 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And it starts off with interviewing people on the street about what they think about people being born gay and all the typical questions. And then we have biblical scholars and experts answering the same questions, Dr. Michael Brown, Dr. Robert Gagnon, Dr. Neil Anderson. Then we go into 29 testimonies of former homosexuals, and they tell their story of how they developed their same-sex attractions, what the lifestyle was really like compared to the myth that's being spun by the media today. And then they tell their story of getting saved, and then they tell their story of the various ways that God has brought healing to their particular issues.
And you're one of those 20.
Yes, I'm one of the
plus.
29, and it's a glorious film. We showed it for the first time a few weeks ago, and people were cheering and clapping and weeping. It's an equipping tool for the church, and its time has come.
Wow, it's good. Okay, the name of the movie again is Such Were Some of You. Is there a way to see a trailer or something like that, or order copies?
Yeah, if you go to suchweresomeofyou.org, and you can watch the trailer, you can watch a 6-minute excerpt, and you can buy the DVD.
That's super. You know, it's so great to have the internet. It's such a great tool. It can be used as such a great tool for good. David Kyle Foster is our guest. Let's talk about some of these issues. You mentioned in the video that despite the acceptance, the widespread acceptance of homosexuality in our culture, nonetheless, people are still dealing, when they're in that lifestyle, with depression, with suicidal thoughts, fatal diseases. Your comments?
Yeah, the activist world would like the public to believe that people like me, who suggest that God can heal the homosexual, are actually causing all kinds of depression and suicide among homosexuals, and that the societal disapproval in general is the cause. When you look at the statistics of where the suicide and depression is the highest, you'll find that it's the highest in the areas of the world where society approves of homosexuality more than any other place. So in Amsterdam, New York, San Francisco, these kinds of places have the highest incidence of suicide and depression. So it's not societal disapproval. It's, I believe, the suggestion by the gay community that you're born that way, that you're stuck that way, and that you can never change. And a lot of people have in their spirits, they know very well in their spirits, and this is what it says in Romans chapter 1, we are without excuse because God has made himself known and his will known in this area. We know inside that something's wrong. Anatomically, people were not designed to go same-sex to same-sex sexually.
Mm-hmm.
It's very clear from design God intends.
You know, I would add to what you just said about, you mentioned New York, Amsterdam, and San Francisco. In addition to the widespread acceptance of the myths that you mentioned about homosexuality, in addition to that, you also have a large homosexual population, per se. So that's part of the issue, too, I would think.
Yeah. If you look, no matter what issue you look at in the gay community, they are off the charts in dysfunction. If you look at domestic violence, for example, over half of all lesbians beat each other up. This is not known by the general public, and it points to a severe brokenness in that population. Male homosexuals commit suicide 3 to 5 times more often than heterosexuals. And the relationships, gay marriage...
Well, wait. 3 to 5 times more often. I know what you're saying, but obviously you can only commit suicide once. So that would have to be reworded somehow. But I know, so in other words, the suicide rate among homosexual men is about 3 to 5 times higher than heterosexual men?
Yes.
That's amazing.
And it's also higher among lesbians. Depression, substance abuse, domestic violence, even in their so-called committed relationships. When I was active in the gay lifestyle, I would always go to the house of one of these so-called committed gay couples who'd been that way for 30, 40 years, and I would seduce one of them within minutes outside in another room. So this whole thing about committed gay couples is also a myth. Statistically, they barely exist. The average committed gay couple will have 3 to 5 partners outside of their committed relationship within the first year. And studies have also shown that within 5 years, there's no commitment whatsoever.
So in other words, promiscuity is rampant. Even if there's a commitment to each other in terms of, let's say, they live together and, you know, this is the long-term partner. They're still cheating on the side. Both of them, it's kind of like an open marriage, you know, but on a homosexual level.
Right. And the reason is because they're trying to find in homosexual sex something they will never find there. And so they become frustrated. Anytime you get frustrated with a behavior that's supposed to fix you, particularly if it causes pleasure, then you become obsessive in repeating it over and over and over again as though you're trying to force it to work, that it will never work. And this is why they, you know, well, I used to go into gay bars when I was in the lifestyle, and I would look at the old men sitting at the bar drinking themselves into a stupor because nobody wanted them anymore. And they were having to deal with the fact that when they were young and beautiful, everybody wanted them, and they supposedly thought they were being loved, but it wasn't love after all. It was an infatuation with youth and beauty.
And lust. Huh. Isn't that interesting? You know, how do we deal with this issue in a way that we show homosexual people we don't hate them? We love them. And in fact, we love them to the point where we want them to know that they can be free from this. No, you're not born this way, and you're not stuck.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I've seen too many of my friends die from AIDS and other things to just say nothing. When I know that change is possible, I've experienced it myself. I've met thousands of people who are in the process of change, which can happen briefly, or it can take a lifetime, depending on the number of issues you have and how deeply they cut and how much of an awareness you have of them and how willing you are to do what it takes to get them healed. There's all kinds of factors that will determine how long a healing process will take. But it is definite, and Paul was writing about it back 2,000 years ago in 1 Corinthians 6, saying that such were some of you, talking about homosexuals, among others. So even then, God was clearly bringing people out of that lifestyle.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, I the only time I've ever been on Fox News, the Fox News channel, I was on a panel discussion, and everybody was either gay or they were ex-gay. And I was in favor of the ex-gay side of the equation and so forth. But I said, look, this ex-gay movement isn't as old as Exodus from the 1970s. This ex-gay movement goes back to the first century when Paul was writing to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Hey, since I bring up Exodus, some would say, oh, yeah, Exodus, how did that work out? Well, they already pulled the plug, and essentially the leaders said, well, you can't change after all. We were sorry, and we don't agree anymore with ourselves, with what we used to say.
Well, for those who don't know, Exodus International was a network of ministries founded, the primary founder was Frank Worthen, many, many decades ago. He has been heartbroken that the last leader of Exodus lost his faith that people could change and pulled the organization down with him, closed it down rather than just resigning.
Wow.
So what happened was the Exodus ministries, almost all of them, are still in operation. They just now go under Restored Hope Network, is the primary network of ministries now. So Exodus didn't close down in terms of the ministries changing their mind and shutting down. The leader of Exodus changed his mind and shut that organization down.
But unfortunately, that news got out there, and it's just one of those things that... some of these homosexual activists almost make a life, this is their life's mission is to say that the ex-gay movement is a lie. There's some guy, I forgot his name, he was on that Fox News channel thing, and he actually lived in South Florida for a while, and he took a photo of John Polk one time when John Polk had a moment of weakness and so forth, and then he put it on the cover of a book he wrote basically saying that the ex-gay movement is a lie. But unfortunately, that this kind of thing adds fuel to the fire to those who say, no, you can't change, and you are born that way after all.
Well, sadly, the gay activist movement lies continuously about this issue. The ex-gay movement is not dead. It's more alive than ever.
Really?
In fact, John Polk's wife...
Yes.
Ann Polk.
I've interviewed
her. She's the head of Restored Hope Network. So nothing has died. It was one man losing his faith. The people who try to change and who don't see enough of it to stay with it, generally those people are ones who sort of put a stopwatch on God. They don't do it consciously, but subconsciously they sort of say to God, you know, I'm going to try this, and if you give me the healing that I want in the time frame that I want, then I'll stay with it, but otherwise, you know, I'm out of here. And that's the scenario you're going to find with a lot of those people who tried it briefly and then walked away.
Okay, but take you just even things that you've said in this particular discussion today, David, when you were a young man and you were struggling with these feelings, it was like, God, take these feelings away. And he didn't choose, for whatever reason, to answer that prayer at that time. And then you were like, oh, okay, well, forget you, God. I'm just going to go off and do my own thing. And then you almost got killed
exactly.
in the process.
Exactly. I did the very, very thing that I just described. But once I saw the love of God and I felt and experienced the love of God in Jesus Christ, my doubts about the goodness of God, my image of God as being some mean, harsh, evil person in heaven with a whip, vanished instantly when I, you know, Jeremiah 29:11-14 basically says, God says, if you seek me with all your heart, I will reveal myself to you. And I said to God, okay, deal. I'm gonna start seeking you with all my heart. And if your Bible is the Word of God, then you're going to reveal yourself to me because you promised to. And that's the deal that I made with God. And he came through. I literally felt his love pour out over me as I pursued him and learned that he was not the evil, angry God that I thought he was. He was completely the opposite and irresistible in his beauty.
But then how do you square that? Okay, he's not the ogre that you had thought he was. How do you square that with the fact that an unrepentant homosexual, by the time they die, they will be cast away from his presence? Depart from me, I never knew you.
Yeah, well, that's the condition of everyone, homosexual or not. We are going to be cast away from the presence of God because of our sin. And the only solution to that God has made, is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's when the veil between man and God was rent. When Jesus died on that cross, God removed that veil.
Yes.
And we can now boldly go into the presence of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, which means believing that he is Lord and God and Savior.
Yeah.
And surrendering our lives to him. What happens then is he comes in to our souls, our spirits, and he quickens them. He makes them alive again. We were born, stillborn in terms of our spirit, but God gives us a new birth, and we become alive again to God. And we now can communicate to God and commune with him and experience him directly. And that's what changes the mind. That's what changes the motivation. It's not, oh, I'm going to quit this and I'm going to, you know, pull myself up with my bootstraps and I'm going to be a good person for God. That will fail. But this total surrender to God, and one of the people in the video that said the most important thing of everything in the video, he said, I finally came to the place where I told God, I'm going to follow you whether you change me or not.
Mm.
Because you are worthy of that. And that's when you come to that place in your heart and mind, that's when the power of God pours forth to help you.
Have you considered, as the writer, director, producer of this film, have you considered the possibility of taking the 2-hour and 9-minute presentation and basically editing it down to the best 1 hour so that it could be, let's say, shown in a Sunday school class or shown on a Sunday night or that kind of thing? 2 hours might be, you know, longer than what they would use, let's say, for a small group.
Well, what we've done is we've created a leader's edition that includes a leader's discussion guide, and it gives you questions to ask in a group setting like a Sunday school or a support group, and it also gives you answers to try to pull out of the ground in case you don't know some of them yourself. So it
sure.
gives you the questions and the answers. And the DVD menu is set up so that you can go directly to the topic that you want to deal with that week. So it's all designed for small group as well as for a single screening at a church or somewhere.
Oh, I see. So you don't have to watch it from the beginning to the end. By the way, I love the way you presented the gospel in the very, very opening, just describing the very things you talked about. And help us to understand, what was the turning point in your life after being involved, as you said, with 1,000 encounters with men as a homosexual, practicing homosexual in Hollywood, and you didn't believe in Jesus Christ during this time, you were fighting him and so forth. What changed you?
Well, I flew to Israel to try to find Jesus. That's a long story, but essentially that's what I did at the end of my 7 years as an actor in Hollywood. And I just put it to him right there in the Garden of Gethsemane. I said, how do I know you love me, essentially? And then I suddenly realized I had just visited all the places where he had been scourged, where he had drugged the cross, where he had been crucified, where he had proven completely, in the most beautiful way, how the lengths he would go to show his love for me. And then he challenged me to look at the other people I was following, the other people around me, and did they offer the same kind of extreme demonstration of love? And suddenly I realized the gurus, the Muhammads, the Buddhas, the Krishnas, all the people that I thought might be God, none of them did anything like that. Christ alone proved that he loved me. And that's what I had been after the whole time. It was love. I've just written my autobiography. It's called Love Hunger.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what drove me the entire first 29 years of my life, the search for love and the love of God in particular.
Mm. All right, excellent. Okay, the website again is suchweresomeofyou.org?
Org, yeah.
Okay, excellent. We have about a minute or so left. What would you like to say in conclusion? By the way, we've been talking with David Kyle Foster, and he is the writer, producer, director, and he appears in this film, Such Were Some of You, showing that indeed homosexuals can be free from this.
Yeah. What I would like to say to those who are homosexual out there, God loves you as much as he loves anyone else. But his requirements for coming to him are the same as they are for everyone else. And it's giving up those things that displease him, giving up the unnatural sexual practices that you may be engaged in, and just believing that he has something better for you, believing that he has the power to transform your life. No guarantees that you're going to be suddenly straight at the end of your life, but believing that God is good and that whatever he's asking you to do, he's going to empower you to do it, and it's going to be the best thing you ever did.
Mm.
And so God loves you, and he's just calling you right now, I believe, to surrender your life to him.
Are you glad you did?
Oh, absolutely. I haven't talked to a former homosexual yet who didn't say, absolutely, I'm so glad I did.
Hmm. Have you talked to any homosexual who opened up and said, man, I wish I wasn't this way?
Oh, yeah. Almost every homosexual says that in their early years. They learn to say otherwise for gay activist purposes later on, but almost all of them believe that.
Wow. All right. Again, David Kyle Foster. The name of the movie is Such Were Some of You. The website is suchweresomeofyou.org. Thanks so much for your ministry. God bless you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye now.